All right then, thank you, Cheryl. Just give us confirmation that we are audible. Thank you. All right. we're happy to be here. We show up here every
Tuesday.
Tuesday at 7 p.m. And I'm here with my wife, Jacqueline Eckert, and my sister-in-law, Connie Poole. Say hi, guys.
Hey, everybody.
And we will begin with a prayer.
I'm going to close. I'll close the door. Go ahead.
And the prayer is always just for willingness, just the willingness to be unaffected. And that's something that kind of dawned on me a couple days ago. Willingness, as I was looking at willingness and feeling it in my heart, and what is the willingness for? And the willingness is really to be unaffected by anything, any appearances, anything that is temporary, to be unaffected by their appearance or activity. Amen.
Amen.
And when we finished up last week, we finished at the bottom of page 91, and it's in
Mark.
Mark chapter 8. And so we will continue with sentence 24 or whatever. There's a 24 before it, and we'll start right there. It's at the bottom of the page there. Truly, I say to you, watch the thoughts within your mind. Choose what you will believe carefully. For what you believe in heaven, although it may hide heaven from your sight. The apostles understood Jesus' words, although they did not all believe them. Then Jesus talked to the apostles about transcendence. He talked of transcending fear and doubt, and he talked to them about transcending death. If you believe your doubts, you will surely die, for doubt is what ties you to this world. Doubt is the fear of God, born of guilt. One who knows guilt cannot know heaven. To know heaven, you must overcome your doubt and belief in guilt. You must let go of the self that says you are guilty. For in losing this self, you gain life. But in keeping with this self, you die. I'm just going to refer right back to that prayer that I started with, and the appearances, if they take on a sense of reality, you have to then you need to go through it. You will go through that. You will have that experience of that. Such is the power that within you. So if we believe the false, if we look at the false and identify with it, and prepare ourselves for the consequences, we're basically saying this is true. This is going to continue, and my guilt, as long as guilt continues, then you are surely going to die. The apostles did not understand, so Jesus explained further. The mind of man is split. One part of the mind is focused in the world of sin and death. This part of the mind sees sin and death because it believes it is guilty of being separate from God. In its aloneness, it suffers. The other part of the mind is not alone. It knows no separateness. It knows itself as one with God and all men. You have seen this vision in your work, and so you know it is within you. The part of the mind that knows aloneness is like a dark cloud hanging over the world and making it dark. As you see the darkened world, you believe darkness is all there is. But beyond every dark cloud, there is light. It is the light that is eternal. The light is also within your mind. Focus on the light. Love the light. Pray unto the light and worship the light within. Through practice, your awareness of the light will grow strong, and it will give you the desire and strength to overcome guilt, doubt, and fear. Hold to the light in all things. It is the way to life.
Yeah, I just, that's the end of that chapter, and I just wanted to say that, well, it sounds like somebody's been reading The Course in Miracles to me, because you don't often, I don't recall much of an emphasis in times past in NTI on this whole idea, in any of these ideas, frankly, on the idea of the split mind, the mention of sin and guilt. Certainly we hear a lot about the light, but it's just to see it laid out this way, it's very reminiscent, I think, of the Course in Miracles, of A Course in Miracles. It just feels different than what we have we've read with NTI in the past, and I just want to point that out. I mean, I don't think it's saying anything different than the Course is saying. And certainly we get the whole split mind thing, and we get that existential guilt that frankly we all experience, and we all experience it as unworthiness, belief that we're unlovable, things like that. So we know that it exists. It's to call it guilt and say you feel guilty because you believe you're separate from God again. We know that that's the underlying theology, but it's just real hard to make a real connection with the idea of it as guilt, because that's not how I experience it. I experience it as unworthiness, unlovability, and that sort of thing. So,
That's a good point.
Yeah, and I think it's I like that passage because it points out, like you say, that what the Course says about the two worlds and how they don't intersect at all. You're either real you're cognitive of the physical plane, or you're cognitive of the light. And as Tom was pointing out in his prayer, starting the prayer, believing that the world is real is where our suffering comes from. So even when we're participating in this world, we're cognitive of its unreality in the scheme of things. It's just not what is so. It may appear to be what is so, but our willingness to know that while it may seem real on some level, it's certainly not the truth of us.
Thank you, Connie. I was keying in on the sense of being the witness, and there's in the mind there's that separation, and there is the person, and then there is the witness, and the witness is very subtle, and it's it seems very subtle. Because we really don't pay attention to it. We're mostly paying attention to what's happening and how it affects the I thought. The focus on the I thought is that's the cause of the suffering. The witness, what I'm starting to see is that it's kind of like the Holy Spirit, as it's explained in The Course in Miracles and NTI. It is the unaffected witness The silent witness, and it is just observing, and it's not observing so much in form either. It's just the observation of life happening spontaneously. If I'm silent enough, and if I a lot of times I really need to be alone in order to do this. If I'm silent enough and I'm out or something like that, I can just recede into myself and just be the witness of watching life happening spontaneously without connecting an eye to it, with just watching it unfold spontaneously. And that witness, that's the true sense of myself. That's the true sense of what I am, the unaffected witness that is just in love with life.
Hey, Debbie. Debbie just came in.
Oh, okay. Hi. Hello, Debbie. Did I say hi to Marge?
Is Marge here?
And hi, Becky, and Becky Gibson, and Taking the Leap, and Lynn Love also.
Hey, everybody.
We don't want to just say hello to family.
That's right. That would be rude.
That would be rude. okay, we'll continue with NTI Mark chapter 9. Jesus said to the apostles, I tell you the truth. Some who are standing here will not taste death, but will see the kingdom of God shining within their hearts and minds with glory and power forever and ever. This is the path that you are on. It is a path that sometimes seems difficult, but that is only your resistance to peace. It is a path that sometimes seems lonely, but that is only your resistance to love. It is a path that sometimes seems frightening, but that is only your resistance to truth. Lay down your resistance and walk with me, for I offer light and love and one. The apostles were grateful that Jesus had been given to them. And again, that to me, that's just speaking about he's talking about the ones who are able to just witness life happening spontaneously. And again, this is how this is this interpretation is coming across through this body and mind. It's just they don't take the false as real. They are just the silent witness, and to the silent witness there is no death. The silent witness goes on.
That's lovely. When I read this, I think of, I work on a part-time basis, and I think of when I got on the elevator today to go back to my courtroom after lunch, everybody went on their way, and then I started getting on the elevator, and I went, oh, I haven't done my lesson. So then I went back to the Sphere office there and did my lesson. And it's just, in that sense, it seems like a solitary path, on the other hand, now I get to come home and hang out with you good people and do this. So, so there's times when it does seem, it'd been a whole lot easier just to go down and, go do what everybody else was doing and right. Go on about my way. And so it's just, that's what I thought of when I saw this. It's like, it's a little different, yeah. There's a little bit more effort involved, but the payoff is pretty big. So.
Yeah. And you're talking about that concept of momentum. There's a momentum that happens, and that's that part of the mind that is sucked in, and that momentum you needed to be very conscious in that moment in order to choose differently, or else you just follow the momentum,
yeah,
which we've been doing
on
for years and years.
You're right, exactly. Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm doing. I'm following the momentum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the law of momentum needs an intervention, a conscious intervention. You're welcome. One day Jesus took Peter, James, and John atop a mountain for meditation, reflection, and counsel. He often took small groups off in this way, that individual attention may be given to their seeming needs and questions. Again, there's the word seeming. The seeming needs and questions. So Jesus sees them as the truth, but he understands they hold on to obstacles. Peter was an unusual one who brought Jesus great joy and amusement. For Peter displayed wide swings between faith and fear. All of this Jesus could use for healing and for teaching.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's really great.
The concept of contrast.
Well, yeah. And the other great part of this is that these are just regular guys, people. I mean, you know, this is Jesus and the dudes he's hanging out with, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's no different than, you know, than what we would experience, you know, here in modern day. You can go, well, look at Peter. Look what he did yesterday. Let's talk about that, right? So you really feel them in this way. You know, they're not these untouchable icons that you can't relate to. They go off and they talk about their experiences.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, and Jesus is using them for healing and for teaching. And like you say, how often in the modern day do you realize that you have learned such a valuable lesson by your brother's experience? Maybe something has happened that you can't... You can't see the incorrectness, and I'm sure there's a better word for that, the lack of healing in that scenario until your brother does it, and you go, oh.
When Peter did it, I saw it.
when Peter did it, there goes my Savior now because I can see it. I can see the erroneousness of the unhealing of that train of thought. That way of thinking, and it's real fun to see Jesus talking about the wide swings between faith and fear, and how he's using that for healing and teaching. It's just fun.
That's cool.
Yeah,
and makes them very real, like you're talking about.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's really cool how you can learn by observing. You don't have to go through every single experience.
Right.
You can learn by your brother's experiences, and that's what I was hearing you say.
Yeah,
also.
Exactly.
On this day, Jesus taught three apostles great truths that had not been taught before. He told the apostles how the world had come into being and how the world would be taken away from the mind. He let the apostles know how their part was helpful to the whole, and he gave each one very specific instructions regarding what to do. As Peter listened to the seriousness in Jesus' tone, he became overcome with fear. Peter experienced difficulty eating and resting, and he wondered if he should stay or if he should go. And this sounds like doubt. It sounds like doubt is creeping upon him. Will be revealed here. That night, during a time when Peter was able to sleep, he had a dream given him by the Holy Spirit. He dreamt that Jesus wore a bright robe of white that shined as if there was a light in the threads of his clothing. And he dreamed that Moses and Elijah were joined in a circle with Jesus, smiling and talking about the gloriousness of the Lord. The dream faded from his mind, and Peter was aware of a peace that came over him as he opened his eyes. When Peter was aware that he was awake, a loud and clear thought came into his mind. This is my son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Peter spent the remainder of the evening in grateful reflection and peace. He went to Jesus, John, and James to share his dream and the sense of peace it had given him. Peace is a gift from our Lord, Jesus explained. Fear is our resistance to this gift. Both acceptance and resistance are in your mind now, so you experience both peace and fear. But know this won't continue forever, for only peace is forever. Fear must pass away. It's kind of interesting the way Peter's having this. And again, it's just an experience that the dream is an experience that he had. Jesus lets him know that there's a very good possibility that the resistance to this peace or the fear is going to return, but it won't continue forever. Fear must pass away because it's not real.
Yeah, so fear and doubt and resistance all
right.
become the same word, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. They're just exactly. Continue the work the Father has given you. When fear seems to come upon you, fall to your knees and join in counsel with the voice for our Lord. Give him your fears and your willingness to continue in service of our Lord. Your fear will fade away. Then rise and continue your work. In this way, you find yourself on the path of healing with a mighty companion by your side. And in this, it says, give him your fears and your willingness to continue in service of our Lord. Give him your fears. To me, that is to bring the illusion to truth. And the illusion is in the mind. And I take that illusion that is bouncing off the walls of the mind, and I bring it to the heart. I bring it to the heart, and the fear will fade away. And the willingness is that willingness to be unaffected again. For me, that just makes it a lot clearer for me, because the willingness to be unaffected by the false, to have no regard for the false, to not worship the false, and bow to it. Continuing. Did you have something come?
No, I'm good.
I was out of the room.
Right. Okay. When Jesus and the three apostles came down from the mountain, they found a crowd there. There seemed to be some disagreement among them. The apostles welcomed Jesus' return to them, certain he could answer questions that challenged them. Why can you drive out evil spirits? Asked one within the crowd, who seemed to speak with belief in his own authority, when your apostles cannot. Is it magic that you use? Who said I drive out evil spirits? Jesus asked. That man and that man, this one answered, and I have seen you do it myself. Jesus smiled at the man and placed a hand on his shoulder. I cannot drive out evil spirits, Jesus answered. What you have seen was of your own belief. For what you believe, you will witness. I believe you have driven out evil spirits, replied the man. But to believe that, you must believe that evil spirits are real and you can be victim to them. Truly I say to you, when you put your faith in our Lord, there is nothing you can be victim to. Jesus faced the crowd and opened his mouth so that the Holy Spirit could pour forth. Do not underestimate the power of your own belief. For what you believe, you will witness. If you believe in evil, you will find evil around you, and you will want to defend yourself from it. So you will attack. You may say this to one, you may say this to that one, or do that to this one, or you may attack with your thoughts of grievance or your words of gossip. Whatever form it takes, attack is attack, and attack is not of God. And so in attacking, you have separated yourself from God. And again, there's that the I thought, thinking that it is that it's got its own agenda, and it's got to chart its course and pave out a living in this world for this temporary lifetime, which is going to, as we can all see, is going. We've witnessed it pass time and time again on this earth. It's going to pass, and yet we still pay homage to this I thought, as if it is holy, or as if it is sacred, or something. And what we do is we just attack our reality, and we separate ourselves from reality. And that's and then the cycle continues, and the loop continues, and the suffering, the wheel of suffering.
Yes. So, and I think what you're saying is this the same statement that says, "What you believe, you will witness." Yeah.
Yeah.
So that seems to be a. Yeah, I think we were talking about that last week, but what you know. The reason the world seems to continue is because we have these false beliefs, but we seem to witness these false beliefs because we have these predominant fear, I-based thoughts that seem to advocate the continuation of the unreality.
Yeah, and the witness in truth is silent. So anything that is engaging in witnessing, as we say, witnessing the false self, or witnessing unreality, or separation, that's just the mind, and that's actually taking a part of it. That's the reinforcement. The witness is. It's that right now, it's that subtle presence within us that knows. And I heard Rupert Spira doing a beautiful thing on this, and it's just he's said it a million times, but this time it just really made a lot of sense. And you're just the knower of the experience. You're the knower of the experience, and that's the witness. It is just the knower of the experience. And so it's for me, it's really just the merging of the heart with the mind, and it needs to be, as Nisargadatta says, come with a clean heart and a clear mind. And so there is this merging of the both of them, and that to me that is the witnessing aspect of it. It is just that which is without an agenda, which is just to witness the spontaneous unfoldment of life. And we call it people, and we call it, there's billions of names for all this stuff. And it's really just be in the now, and not in the past of the naming of it, or the giving meaning to it. It's just to be in the momentary observance of it. And I didn't mean to go too far into that, but it's just an experience that's prevalent with me right now. I ask you, What is evil but opposition to God's will? Would it be God's will that you separate yourself from him? There was a quiet pause. It is our Father's will that you be in communion with him, with every thought in your day. So when you think you see evil and feel thoughts of attack rise up in your defense, turn to our Lord in prayer. Say to him, Father, it is not your will that I be separate from you, so it is not my will that I be separate. I rejoin with you by letting go of my attack. I give this attack to you, that you may do with it as it is your will. I ask nothing of you but peace. And again, peace is to be unaffected, in my experience.
Yeah, and I just want to say that, you know, this is not surprisingly teaching the same thing that we're learning in gentle healing. You know, this week we did the review lesson where we looked at the first five lessons so that we could get of A Course in Miracles, so that we could get that overall theme. And the overall theme there is that the thoughts that we think we think, the thoughts that we think without God, right? They're all I thoughts. They're all designed to build and maintain this separate sense of self. And just like the Course is asking us to do, this NTI is saying that Jesus was talking about the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You can immerse yourself in those types of
mm-hmm.
thoughts,
right.
Whether they be grievance thoughts, gossip thoughts, attack thoughts, whatever they are. They're not the will of God.
Right.
And that thing that you call evil, all that is not being in alignment with God's will. So when you see a thought, an attack thought, a grievance thought, a defensive thought, any of those thoughts, just stop and surrender to the thoughts that you would think with God, which is exactly what we're being asked to do as we contemplate the first lessons of A Course in Miracles. And so instead of thinking about the I, about this false self that I've created, let me think those thoughts that contain the attributes of my true self, the attributes of God.
Mm.
And so it's the same thing that's going on here.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see it here.
Yeah, and as you were speaking, I was reminded of, you know, when those thoughts come to you, it's again like you talked about John Mark Stroud talking about the body as an instrument of communication, and recognizing it by a lot of times it's not so evident as a thought, but it's evident as a feeling real quick.
Right.
Because you can feel it so quickly when you're out of alignment.
Right. Right. You feel that contraction.
You can feel that contraction
yeah.
immediately, and to make the choice right then, and.
Yeah, and of course, what Tom's talking about when he's talking about John Mark Stroud saying that about the body being a communication device, of course, A Course in Miracles says that, and John Mark was the first one who said, it's communicating with you, not with other people. I went, oh, gosh!
Yeah,
of course. Now, I've heard several people say it since then, but
certainly,
that's the first time I'd heard it, and it's, of course, your body's always communicating with you.
Right.
Your body knows when you're full of BS,
yes,
right? Your
yes.
body knows when you're being nasty. Your body, you know, you get that contraction.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to just be conscious of it, you know.
And be conscious of it, because it's trying to help you.
Right, it's trying to help you.
Trying
yes.
to tell you something.
Exactly.
Of course, this reminds me of the Bob Newhart video.
Somebody posted that recently.
Yeah. Go ahead, tell about it. Yeah, so Bob Newhart, the psychologist, just when this stuff's coming up and she's having all these horrible things, she's having these horrible thoughts and about herself and that sort of thing. And he says, you know.
She says, what can I do about it?
Yeah. And he screams at the top of his lungs, stop it.
Stop it.
Stop it.
That's
so just funny. Stop it.
Right. Yeah. See your interests.
And that's we're at 30.
Right. Okay, thanks. Through prayer such as this, evil will fade from your sight. And that's a real important word too. Evil will fade. That's a process. So a lot of times, as it's fading, we're still convinced that Jesus, this isn't working. But it is fading. It fades from your view, little bit by little bit, and sometimes in a big chunk, but it fades. And I feel like that's important to, the I thought or ego is always trying. Discouragement is a big tool for the I thought, and discouragement comes. It can come often, and it just realize that it's just really just a pointer. Discouragement is just a pointer at truth, and I don't know exactly how, but I just know it's true.
Could you did say discouragement is a pointer towards truth?
Well, if you look at it, it's a defense, it's a defense against the truth. Discouragement, it takes energy. There's an energy to it.
Yeah, it becomes a barometer, just like
Yeah.
fear or anything else,
Right.
right?
Yeah.
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 So you can feel that discouragement. You feel
Right.
it as a barometer, and you know that you are misguided in your thoughts in that present moment. So it becomes a barometer to say there must be a better way of seeing this.
Right. Right. Thank you, Connie.
Thank you for defending me, Connie. No, I had gotten a
No.
text message and I missed what you said, frankly. And I said, wait a minute, did he say what I thought he said? So thank you for coming to his defense.
Later, Jesus asked the apostles what they had been arguing about when he, Peter, James, and John had come upon them. The apostles were embarrassed to answer him
Right there,
because
they can see an embarrassment is inconsistent, is the barometer,
Yeah,
right?
right.
Right,
Right.
right.
Yeah,
Okay.
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. It's a pointer
Right.
that I'm believing the false.
Exactly.
Were embarrassed to answer him because they had been defending themselves against the crowd and from one another. Each one thought he was the better disciple.
That sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Each one thought he was closest to the master and therefore above the rest. Jesus waited in silence as drink was served to them. Then, once again, he opened his mouth that the Holy Spirit may speak. And I love the way it says this. Then, once again, he opened his mouth. They didn't say he went out to speak. They said he opened his mouth that the Holy Spirit may speak. And it's just really so sweet because the spontaneity of spirit, the assuredness, the certainty of the spirit, he could just feel it coming up, and all he had to do was open his mouth and the words came out.
Yeah, so he's not speaking from his ego
Right.
anymore. It's he just it's just okay. There's a lesson that needs to be taught here. I don't know it,
Right.
but the deeper part of myself,
Yeah.
the Holy Spirit part of myself does know it. So here it comes.
Yeah.
I'm gonna open my mouth. Okay,
And I'm
you got it. Go with it, Holy
right.
Spirit.
And I'm
You're
just as interested to
on.
hear it as you are,
Yeah, right, exactly.
right? Because it's so spontaneous. The one who knows his greatness is the one who sees himself like the rest. The one in service of his brothers serves them because it is his desire to serve himself. And I remember there's a quote in the Bible, Jesus said, "Let he that is the greatest among you be the servant of all." And I just found that very so humbling, so pure,
Sweet.
Yeah. Jesus invited a child to stand beside him. When you look on this child, you look upon me. One is not different from the other. And when you see our innocence joined as one innocence within our Lord, you have seen yourself and found your innocence. There your greatness lies, in the innocence that is found within our Lord. For this innocence he has shared with you, and so this innocence is you. So basically he's saying, not through proclamation, not through any proclamation that you're making, is your greatness established. It's in that humble looking within and seeing your nothingness in your allness, feeling just recognizing that there's no, how can you defend anything? What is there to defend?
Yeah, and how great would it be to every person you walked up to, conversation you had with any individual, if you were able to see that individual as innocent as Jesus is pointing out this child is standing next to him.
Yeah.
And to know that that's the truth of him.
That's the truth.
But we want to drag all of his past up, what little we may or may not know of him, and dump that on him like he's holding it in a bag, and say that's who he is, all of his past,
right?
And we can't just let him be that innocent child. What an experience! What a life that would be,
right?
To experience everybody in their pure innocence, because I mean that's what he's saying. That's the way the Holy Spirit sees me. You should see me the same,
right? Beautiful. And it's you know, it's really just seeing that one life, and it comes through so many vessels. It comes through so many vessels, and you can just observe that one life unfolding in front of you, and you're the witness of this life unfolding. And then there, unfortunately, there happens to be sometimes that commentary that runs, concurrent with, or just after that life has. Just after that life has had some occurrence, or so that life has happened, there's a commentary that might follow, and that is what the ego is. It's a commentary on what just happened. Meanwhile, it's just life happening, and the only thing that establishes the I thought is its ability to comment on what just happened.
Yeah, it's what you were talking about earlier. It is the interpretation rather than
the interpretation, right?
Well, letting everything be as exactly it is.
Right.
We mistake our interpretation as the truth.
Right. As gospel.
Yes.
Right.
My interpretation must be how it is.
Yeah.
My interpretation of your lack of innocence must be how it is.
We never. Yes, and until we started this path, we would never question.
Right, we would just be convinced of our own interpretation was the truth.
Right.
Well, and I just want to point out once again that in our review of lessons, I don't know, is it 6 through 10, or in the second review lesson that we're doing for the Gentle Healing Group, it's talking about how I see only the past. Everything I see has only the meaning that I've given it, right?
Right.
And how, because we're stuck in the past, because we're stuck in our past formulations of who people are and these things that we can't see, so we have to give up those thoughts of the past and what we think we know in order to have true vision, which is the same thing you guys are saying.
So, yeah. It's true. It's like what we think we know.
Right.
You know, for some reason we hold that sacred. For some reason, it seems.
Because
to let
because
that
we think
go.
Because we think our interpretations are the truth.
And we think that is our truth. We are the truth unto ourselves.
And we don't know how to do what you were talking about earlier, and that is just let everything be.
Just watch
it
unfold.
Because we're so weighted with our judgments and our interpretations.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And what they're actually doing is blocking the light.
Yes.
Right. They're blocking life.
Yeah, in fact, where we started, he was talking about heaven, and how they might actually block the sight of heaven. You know, your power to see only what you want to see comes from heaven, but will actually block heaven from your sight.
Right. Very good.
And they have those. They have those like they talk about on TV or something where an airplane's going to land on the highway and people can't see the airplane landing on the highway because they don't expect it to be there. We're so caught up in our interpretations that they'll run into the airplane because they can't see it.
I missed that news report, but it's a good one.
Those are the ones that got it really bad.
But I mean, we think it's it's that dumbass,
right?
That can't see it, but we don't know how severely we're coloring our world by our interpretations instead of letting things be. And it's like you said, our interpretations are all based on our past.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And based on who it is that we've thought ourselves to be, which
and
is
then projecting that, and then projecting that onto everybody else.
Right.
Okay. There you go, folks.
Yeah.
For the airplane.
Watch out for the airplane.
All right. Okay. Somebody point me where we're at.
Top of 96, Jesus patted the child on the head.
Oh, okay. Yes, thanks. She was out of the room and she still knew where we were. Jesus patted the child on the head and the child ran off with its mother. Love one another as you love me. In this way, you serve our Lord and yourself. Never doubt that love is one. To love one is to love another, and to love them both is to love us all. Seek only after love, and let all that is not love go from your mind as useless. It's just saying, let everything be, and every comment, let it go.
Well, you know, and it's interesting because the, hey, John. Oh, you are? Does Dana know? Sorry. Oh, okay.
Hey. Welcome back.
Thanks.
All right.
Sorry to interrupt you guys.
That's okay.
We're
okay, cool.
Okay, I'll call you when we get done here.
Oh, no, it's okay. I mean, I'm going to make him take a shower, which he hates. And then...
Okay. Right. Bye, Jordan. Okay, we're babysitting for my sister's grandbaby, so that's what was going on there. Sorry about that, folks. No, what I wanted to say was he says, love one another as you love me. And so they're willing to give up their selfishness and their infighting. They're like, Jesus is really cool. I really love Jesus. But you guys, you know, you're not so great, you know, so it's me as opposed to you.
Right.
And Jesus is going, hey, you know, that like that selfless love that you love me with, spread that around a little bit.
Right.
Right. And love each other in that same way. That's what's being requested of you here. That's what's required. In fact, if you seek love in that selfless way, in the way that you love me, if you spread that around, if you give that to each other, that's all there is. Seek only after love. And then let all that other stuff go. That's just holding you back.
Hmm. Right. And he also had said, love one another as I have loved you. Because he loved them even in their ignorance. So, right, he's saying, do the same. Do what I did. Love each other and you're in ignorance.
In fact, we started this whole section out where Jesus says he really likes Peter because he has he has those swings in the fear and the faith. And he can use that to teach and it becomes a joyous experience.
Right.
Yeah, so there's no judgment there. He's just loving him for it and using it as an opportunity
He's seeing
to teach.
He's seeing the whole thing as an innocence.
Right.
And then using that innocence and saying and having the joyful experience teaching.
That's great.
Okay, we've got about 10 minutes left. Okay.
Continuing, verses 38 to 41. Teacher, said John, we saw a man teaching in your name, and we asked him to stop, because he is not one of us. He does not need to stop, replied Jesus. He does not need to walk with us and eat with us to be one with us. The Heavenly Father made us one, and so one is what we are. The differences that we see among us are shallow and unimportant. They are visible on the surface only. Like all things in this world, they will not last. Do not focus on the differences. They will distract you from the light. And it's like Jesus is talking about that life force. Now, there's differences between me and Connie, who's sitting here right here to my right. There's differences on the surface. On the surface, she's female, I'm male, and various other differences. Those are not differences. Those are distinctions. Those are distinctions of form.
Shallow and unimportant.
Shallow and unimportant. The truth is that the exact same life force that runs through this vessel runs through that vessel. And that is as much me, that is as much who I am as this being is.
Yeah, and even in the course where it says, you know, see no interest different from than your brother, and you've really got the gist of the course.
Right.
And that interest, of course, is the interest to love and be loved
and share.
Yes, absolutely.
And share and just be peaceful and not be separate.
Not be separate. Huh.
Oh, thanks. Our Father created us as one, and so one is what we are. We cannot be different than how our Father created us. It is our essence, our being. This man who teaches in my name teaches not for me or against me. He teaches with me, for we cannot be apart in purpose or in truth. God will call many teachers to do his work, and each one may seem to teach in his own way. But the Father's message is always consistent. It is the simple message of love and oneness.
How sweet.
Yeah. What's really cool is that, and each one may seem to teach in his own way. So he's not God does not violate your wish to have a different experience. But you're all teaching the same thing. We're all teaching the one basic truth.
Yeah, the difference experience is focusing on the differences.
It's, right.
They're right. Shallow and
right.
And,
shallow. And right. I just thought it was interesting because there was that desire for specialness or to stand out or whatnot, and so it's not violated. It's just really recedes, and all we're really focused on, you know, what we're trying to draw from is just the essence, our life, what we are together, what is the same in us is so predominant, is so primary that these other little silly things, they don't even come into, they stop being conscious.
Yeah, and I think you hit something. There is, you know, we think that specialness is something to seek for, mm. and something that we want. But if you realize the flip side of specialness, it's something you don't want.
Right.
So if there could be specialness, then there can be the opposite.
This got to be the opposite, of course. There has to be, right?
Right. And what do you want there to be an opposite with God? And do you want to be the one that is not the special one with
right,
God?
Right.
No. So what I want for myself, I have to want for my brother.
Right.
And in knowing that is true, that's consistent with God and the, and emulating that.
Yeah.
When I emulate that in my real life, there is no specialness.
Right.
You know, that whole thing. If pain is true, then God can't know pain because pain isn't true. You can't know pain because pain isn't true.
Uh-huh.
Because God doesn't know pain.
Right.
Right. So you can't be any more special than your brother.
Right.
And thank God you can't.
Right. Absolutely.
I don't think I said that very well, but no, thank God you can't is really
yeah
the message here
right.
Regarding specialness.
Yeah, you know, and it's palpable in our experience when we do something selfless. We feel just wonderful when we do well in our humble modesty. We feel most fulfilled when we're joined together in love. We feel so fulfilled, and then there is that momentum of that special self that runs on it, runs on that that
juice,
that uranium fuel.
Yeah.
And you know, it's just that needs to be always looked for, to be aware, because you can, and again, as we mentioned before, you can recognize it in how you feel. Okay. I tell you the truth. Wait, is that where I'm at?
I know we read 17. I'm not sure you read 18.
Okay. It is a simple message of love and oneness. Whenever you hear this message, be grateful for what you hear. Do not be distracted by what may seem to be differences.
Specialness.
Right. I tell you the truth. Anyone who gives his brother even a cup of water because he knows his brother is the Christ teaches with authority from the Father. I tell you, watch yourself regarding your brother. Your mind and your heart are your only concern. If you think you see your brother sin, ask the Holy Spirit to help you see differently. Remember your purpose in all things. If you think you see your brother sin, it doesn't say what he did or anything like that. It just says, if you think you see your brother sin, you ask immediately to see it differently. Because you're in the wrong mind.
Yeah, it's that barometer again.
Yeah, yeah. And it looks like we're going to fold up our books and finish up here so that we can get it back to Cheryl. And we have another program coming up. We appreciate everybody being here with us. Thanks, everybody.
We love you guys, and we're thrilled to be on this path with you.
Love you guys.
It's so fun.
Yeah, why don't I hit that?
That's it.